The following program is a paid advertisement. The views reflected on this show are not necessarily the views of ESPN 1000.
You mean to tell me that you went home and swiped a ball that was signed by Babe Ruth, and you brought it out here and actually played with it? Yeah!
Are you one of those people that has to know how much the Babe Ruth ball is actually worth?
I was gonna bring it back,
but it was signed by Babe Ruth!
Yeah, you keep telling me that. Who is she?
We'll keep it right here, because today is your lucky day.
The Sultan of Slime!
King of Crack!
The Colossus of Clout! The Colossus of Clout!
It's time for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ERC Delivery and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. And our producer is Eric Ostrowski. How did I get that cut me back on there before anything's even going?
That was funny.
We're on till 8, taking your questions. If you want to give us a call with a question about the value of a collectible, the number here is 312-332-3776. We're going to be talking about some of the items that are in the Huggins and Scott August auction. Bidding begins. Bill, did the bidding date get moved up to July 21st for your August auction? Is that right, or is it starting July 24th?
No, we did move it up to July 21st. We have a lot of people that are going to be attending the National, a lot of dealers and a lot of collectors, and they're going to be flying or traveling usually on that Monday, and a lot of guys like to get their bids in the first day. So we kind of figured it would be a good idea to give them a couple of extra days to get their bids in early, and then they usually check back the last couple of days.
So yeah, why not? That's good. You see, I was all over that, Bill. I caught that. I was like, wait a minute, because, you know, you have that countdown on your website. I'm like, wait a minute, these days aren't, something's not right here. July 21st, the bidding begins. So that's quicker. That's in 13 days. 2 weeks from now, on the 22nd, we're going to have an hour and a half show, and Bill Weiland is going to be on the guest for at least part of that, talking about his big Mickey Mantle collection, some of the tougher ones to get. He's going to be on the phone and do it. I talked to him earlier this week. I noticed that Bill Huggins, Bill Weiland will be at your table at the National signing his book for three of the days, right?
Yes, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. He's going to come by and, you know, hang out at our booth and talk to old collectors and people about his collection, which will have a large bit of it on display at the show, and signed copies of his book if people want them and everything. So it should be interesting. There's a lot of Mantle collectors that'll be there, that's for sure.
Yeah, and you know, it's a big collection when you send in his stuff to PSA and they put Bill Weiland collection on the label.
Yes.
That's a pretty big deal. They don't do that a whole lot. They did that back in a long time ago when Gretzky bought that one Honus Wagner card. They put Gretzky and the other guy's name on it. But I mean, it doesn't happen a ton. Have you ever had somebody do that before, Bill, with a collection that went through you where they had their names on it?
No, I mean, we've had cards that have come from other, like the Black Swamp and all those other types of things. But no, we've never had a complete collection that was branded that way from right out of the gate. So
We'll be mixing in some of the things that he has going in the Huggins and Scott auction. There's a bunch of items up there already. And along with the other stuff we're talking about now, I was going through stuff and I wanted to try to get some different categories in so people realize it's not just real expensive vintage cards or whatever. For instance, I found a valuable 1990 baseball card.
Oh, okay.
This is actually a Frank Thomas 1990 Topps rookie number 414. Now, don't go running for your cards unless it's the one that has no name on the front. Okay, like, yes. They have a PSA 5 with a $2,750 minimum bid in the Huggins and Scott auction. I looked up on the population report. PSA has graded 182 examples of the no name on front and 11,674 of the regular Topps version. So there's quite a few more. Yes. I don't think I've ever even had a no name on front come into Tea Crown.
I had one of those actually in the early 90s. I did. I'm not sure how I got it. Maybe traded for it, but I had it. I sold it at a show for, I think, maybe a couple hundred bucks at the time, or
about
the value that it was going for.
I remember at one time them being like $1,000, and then it seemed like they came down for a while, but now, I didn't know you had one of those.
I did. One of my bigger regrets in the industry is selling it when I did. I should have just kept it, had it graded or something.
Well, I wonder how nice it was. I think there's only been one 10 graded of that.
Wow.
Bill, what do you think a 10 would go for of that card?
Well, you know, it's interesting about a card like that, Tom. I don't know that, and I guess you'd have to check the prices realized or whatever on that, but the difference between a 5 and a 10 on a card like that, I don't know that the difference would be the same variance as, say, a 1956 Mickey Mantle.
Yeah, if you
did his percentages. I think the fact that it's such a rare card like that, people... They'll be happy with it in any grade, really.
Oh, yeah. Just to get one, you're right, is going to be good. So that'll be interesting to see what that does. And then you go to a modern-day football card where there's a lot of valuable modern-day football cards. Here's a Tom Brady 2000 Leafs-certified four-star mirror red rookie, number 207, PSA 10 with a $500 minimum bid. Brady stuff, his rookie year stuff, and his tougher to get autograph cards, and big money for that stuff. It's all been doing great. It's, you guys have really, Bill, started doing more of the higher priced stuff from the last 15 years or so.
Oh, yeah. We've become, I don't know that there's many other auction houses that are, you know, mix in as many shiny cards as we do in our auctions. We seem to have a good following for those, and a lot of the guys who put them into our auctions. I am not the biggest shiny card expert, but we have guys.
Yeah,
and Vince is probably a better shiny card guy than anybody.
I love the shiny cards, Bill. I love the shiny cards. Well, I think Tom Brady has reached the pinnacle where his stuff is always going to be valuable. I think he's reached that level pretty much no matter what happens in the rest of his career, he's going to be collectible.
And then the question becomes really, not was he great, not is he a Hall of Famer, but is he the best ever with what he's done and the whole Belichick duo and everything. Yeah, his stuff will always be valuable. Yep. Now, I'm doing a different – nobody claimed the prize last week, but I'm changing it up anyway because people haven't – maybe they don't like that prize I was giving away. So this week we're doing a little different, a 2017 Panini Donruss Elite football box is the prize. Two autographs and one memorabilia card per box, and there's one pen pal autograph per. Those are on card. The pen pal signatures from that product usually do real well. And then there's possible passing the torch autographs where you could get like Barry Sanders, Thurman Thomas double autograph passing the torch. So those aren't in every box, but the pen pals are. So that's the prize. And then plus, once again, we have the Under Armour All-American Game tickets that anybody can come into Triple Crown in Naperville and get those. The game is July 29th at Wrigley Field. Gates open at 5:05. Home Run Derby's at 5:45. And the regular game starts at 7:05. But they have some like 8 or 9, I think, first-round draft picks in that game that were in this year's draft. So that'd be fun even to watch the Home Run Derby for that one.
Yep.
I would think the Home Run Derby for MLB is going to be highly viewed this year with Judge Bellinger in there. And
Sanchez is in there, I think, for
some
the Yankees
of the other guys.
As well.
You know, somebody was complaining about how do they pick Sanchez over Logan Morrison or whatever. Right. It's like this is purely to pick guys who they think are going to – more people are going to watch.
Yep.
It has nothing to do with anything except really ratings and the excitement factor. Who do people want to see?
Yep.
And they decided that they wanted to see Sanchez more than Morrison. Morrison's – I have him on one of my fantasy teams. He's been, like, crazy hitting home runs. But, And he was complaining about it, but it's like, you know, nobody really knows who Logan Morrison is. Is that even his first name, Logan? I think it is.
We don't even know that for sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty
but
sure
people
it is.
Want to see Judge, you know, a spectacular year he's having so far. They want to see him hit some bombs.
He's a monster. Yes. He was on first base standing next to Matt Davidson of the White Sox, who's like 6'4", 230.
Wow.
And he just engulfed him, like how much bigger he is.
Yep.
So the number here is 312-332-3776. You can give us a call. If you want to mention an item that you have that you think might be good in a Huggins and Scott auction, just want to tell us what you have or... And you also get in the drawing if you tweet a picture of an item to my attention. T Crown Tom is my Twitter ID. Or if you bring stuff in during the week, one of our listeners brought in a fantastic collection. And I think at least some of this is going to end up going into the October Huggins and Scott auction. But it was New York Giants and San Francisco Giants stuff. I tweeted pictures of some of it. He had a 1938 New York Giants team photo, and then almost all the guys, including like Mel Ott and Carl Hubbell, signed right on their pictures.
Wow.
Then he had a lot of Mel Ott stuff. I guess, Bill, he's got something like 100 different team-signed baseballs. And one of them, he goes, I don't know if this would be anything, but one of them was a minor league. Now, think about it, Bill. Let's say it was a minor league ball, and it was when Willie Mays was in the minor leagues or something, you know? Depending on who is on that ball, that could be bigger than some of the major league ones, don't you think, Bill? Depending on who's actually signed it. He was going to look it up and find it. He brought in a couple of them, and they were nice.
Oh, I think the and we've had other types of signatures on balls or on photos of big time athletes where it's very early in their career versus later in their career when they sign so much stuff. And a lot of those early signatures, like a Willie Mays minor league signature, those are very highly sought after and very heavily paid for.
Well, speaking of Willie Mays, one of the things he has, I guess for 5 or 6 years, he was a spring training bat boy for the Giants.
Really?
So he has a Willie Mays bat. Now, Bill, if a Willie Mays bat that he used in spring training, I mean, is there any type of distinguishing that from just a Willie Mays regular season game used bat? I mean, a lot of times, how would you even know when it was used before, when it's in the era before the MLB hologram where they say exactly where it came from? What do you think of Willie Mays? And he didn't know whether it was used in regular season or not. He got it at spring training. What do you think of a bat like that?
Well, I'll tell you, Tom, there's a one characteristic on spring training bats that has been going on for decades, and that is a lot of the players during spring training will tape up the part of the bat, from just below the top of the barrel to almost just above where they put their hands. They put tape over it so the bat won't crack because they don't want these things to crack. And when you take that tape off after it's been used for a while, you can just see the line, the marks, and the wood has not toned as much and everything. And those are that's one very distinguishing mark as far as, you know, spring training bats that a lot of the players have done and still do.
Now, I would think, when you see some of the values of Willie Mays game-used bats, I would think spring training would be relatively close to that, wouldn't it? Or would it be far off?
I think you're going to get, you know, noticeably less money for a verified spring training bat versus a verified MLB game bat, for sure. Yeah, you're going to get a different...
He also said,
it could be depending on the year, though. I mean, a spring training bat from early in Mays's career to a game bat from late in his career, the gap may have closed quite a bit.
Yeah, I think it was 60s. He also said it might have been late 60s into the early 70s that he was doing the bat boy stuff. I don't know for sure, but he said he has a Bobby Bonds game-worn jersey. Now, whether he got that when he was a bat boy or not, I'm not 100% sure, but Bobby Bonds, I think, what did he start with the Giants? 68, 69, maybe something like that. Yeah. So, but the stuff, and then he brought this in, and I tweeted a picture of it. I thought this was really neat. I think it was 1960, the San Francisco Giants made a tour of Japan and played games in like October of that year against Japanese teams. And he had a kimono with a San Francisco Giants big logo really? On the back of it that was That's really cool.
That's very now, cool.
Like I told him, Bill, I don't think you can really give an estimate on what that would go for, but don't you think that would be kind of an interesting auction item just to see what it would go for?
I've checked my Beckett price guide.
Yeah, yeah, let's see. In the 1960s.
Player worn kimono.
That would be interesting to see. It was really neat. Yeah, I mean, cool. It's one of those things, I guess you know, you hang on the wall. I don't know. I sure wouldn't be wearing it, but you never know. Okay, we have Mike from Palos Hills on the line. What's up, Mike? What do you have?
Let me take you off speaker.
Okay, very good.
Okay, what do I have? I have a 5.5 by 8.5 photo, signed photo of from Carlton Fisk, and in a White Sox uniform, with a brief bio on the back.
Okay, now was that one that was? Is the bio one of those things where it was like a UPI photo or whatever,
I'm not sure.
Okay.
About that.
Yeah, probably you're looking at maybe $25 to $50 for a fist signed photo like that. I mean, if it was a type one photo from a big game that he had, that might help the value some. But he's one of those Hall of Famers that there's a lot of signatures out there, and they don't sell for a ton, but they're always going to be collectible. Any Hall of Famer signed item, and the more they're around and the more they're signing, you know, it's supply and demand. A lot of times the prices aren't that great.
There's a few Carlton Fisk photos signed on eBay that sold for between $35 and $55. Yeah. So you're right there with your estimation.
Yeah, it sounds like. I mean, and they'll sell, but you can't ask for very. If they're going to sell, that you can't ask for very much on them when you have them in the store or whatever. Good stuff though,
sure.
Fisk. When the White Sox first signed him, that was a big deal. They got him and when Reinsdorf took over, and they got him and Luzinski, and it just added a lot of excitement to what wasn't that exciting of a team right before that.
And his home run in Game 6 of the World Series against the Reds.
That's
to
all
win
time.
That game to force a Game 7, I think it was. That'll live forever.
That's one of those all-time World Series highlights. We're already at the end of the first break. Okay, the number is 312-332-3776. We're on till 8. You can give us a call. Hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan. Sponsored by ERCDelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on till 8. You can give us a call if you have a question about the value of a collectible. It can be sports, non-sports, pop culture, comic books, whatever. If you have something that you found in the attic and you want to know what it's worth, we'll try to give you an estimate of what it could sell for, if it's worth putting in a Huggins and Scott auction or not. And if it's anything that we would like, maybe T Crown would like it. Who knows? There's all kinds of stuff out there. People bring stuff in. You know, sometimes they bring stuff in and they have maybe 15 things, and they're like, these things, and they'll show them to me. It's like, no, those aren't worth anything. And then, but they're like, well, I've got this too, and it's like, that's worth $1,000 or $1,500 over there. And they're like, oh, really? You know, so you never know. If you think if it could be valuable, check with us. Who knows? Maybe it'd be huge. Yep. Maybe $1 million.
There you go. Everybody's a collector. Everybody's got something to sell.
Yeah. Well, it seems like everybody does hang on to something at some time in their life. They think they're not a collector, but they are, because they've got something that they've hung on to, and that makes you a collector. You've been deemed a collector. We have a good prize, too. Now, don't forget, you can come into Triple Crown in Naperville anytime for the Under Armour All-America game tickets. It's July 29th at Wrigley Field. Now, if you live some in another part of the country and you're going to be in town for the National that week, and let's say you're staying at a hotel downtown Chicago, stop by, pick up some free tickets for that. It'd be fun. Bill, do you think any of you guys there would want tickets to that game? I can send some to you guys if you want, if when you're in town for the National.
I'll check with the guys and let you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll send you 10 or 12, and if they want to use them, they can. If they can't do it, they can't do it. All right, very good.
Or, gosh, I could pass a few out at my booth.
Well,
the game is Friday night, right?
It's Saturday night. That's actually not a bad idea. They're sending me a couple hundred extra because it's like I don't know how I got on this list. I like it, though.
Sure, absolutely.
You know, and they seem to like, you know, that I'm handing out tickets.
We're going to fill the stands.
Yes.
We're going to fill the stands.
Yeah. Okay. Mike from Worth is on the line. What do you have there, Mike?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Good morning.
Good morning.
I got a couple questions for you guys. I got some old school baseball cards that are misprinted almost. Like, I have a Pete Rose. He's in the Philly uniform, the Reds uniform, the whole nine. But on the bottom, it says he's a part of the Braves team. Is that worth anything at all?
Sometimes those errors, if they're corrected errors, the one that's the short printed error can be worth some pretty good money. So, Bill, I don't know if that's one that's you're familiar with. I'm not. But, you know, that would be one to check out maybe on eBay and see if there's a Pete Rose Braves variation that if there's only a few of them, like you see with the Frank Thomas 1990 Tops, no name on front. I mean, if it's a lower print and a really good player, sometimes it doesn't even have to be a really good player. Now, this reminds me of something that I have that, to me, I'm not going to stop till I found out about this. I've got a Kobe Bryant second year ultra card. Have you ever seen that card, Vince, that I showed you?
You showed me one time, and we've talked about it several times.
It's such a neat-looking card, and it's missing the foil on the front. It's like partially a gold card and partially a platinum and partially a regular card, kind of, where it looks really cool, and I really think it might be a one-of-one, but I have no way of proving it. So I think it could be a really valuable card, but sometimes, Mike, it's a matter of proving it, you know? Like, let's say you're Pete Rose. You think, man, I don't think there's hardly any of these around. If it hasn't gotten out there, you're going to have to dig around and see what you can find out. Bill, you have any examples of anything like that that anybody has found and it turned out that it was pretty valuable?
Well, there's all sorts of these little variations out there. A lot of times, though, it gets down to how much dollar-wise does somebody value this little slight variation. And, you know, the Frank Thomas thing has taken off. There was the Maggie error card in the T206 set.
Oh, yeah.
But there's oodles and oodles of other variations throughout the years in the Tops and Bowman cards that they really don't bring much difference, a little bit here or there, but most of them are just, you know, print errors or something like that. And the guy, there's just not a great audience for those that'll pay a significant premium for them.
Yeah, and that's pretty typical, Mike, that might be what you have. But you never know with a Pete Rose. I mean, what year was that?
I'm not 100% sure. He's an old man in the card already, though.
Oh, okay. That's probably not as good. If it had been something earlier in his career, that might have been better. But
and I'm not finding anything on eBay about a misprinted card with Atlanta Braves and a Pete Rose card, so I don't know.
Well, sometime, Mike, if you're ever heading by Naperville, you want to stop by Triple Crown in Naperville and show me what it looks like, I'd like to see it.
For sure. Sounds great. Thanks,
okay,
guys.
Thanks for the call. Next on the line, we have Chuck from Edison Park. Is that right? Edison Park, Chuck?
Yeah, Edison Park. How you doing, guys?
Good. What's up?
I got, like, here's what I got. I got, like, 1985, 1987 Topps Tiffany sets, and I got an 89-90 Bowman Tiffany set.
Oh, Bill, you've run Tiffany's before, haven't you? How are those sets holding up now?
Well, they've done quite well. They're, gosh, 3 to 10 times the value of the regular set. There were just far less of them produced and everything. Are they still in the factory boxes?
Like 3 out of 4 are. One, I had a crack. I don't know why I did that, but I did.
Well, maybe you can look.
The ones sealed in the factory boxes are certainly bring a significant premium.
Now, do you think the 3 of those together might be worth an auction lot for you?
I'd have to have my guys do a little looking on. I know we've run like the complete run of them.
Yeah.
Where they have the, because they also, those were the years where they did the traded sets as well, as far as with the Tiffany style to them.
Seems like sometimes the PSA 10s or BGS 9.5s or 10s of the Tiffany's go for a lot more money than the regular Topps cards too, where, you know, you open that one, Chuck, maybe get a couple graded or look up and see what they go for as a PSA 10 or a BGS 9.5 or 10. And if yours are real nice, maybe.
The problem was, I think the one cut was, you know, I think it was 85 maybe the second year, and the cuts are kind of rough, actually.
Oh,
so
they?
I did the one I opened, but who knows? You know, the other ones are, I kept them in the box. So.
Yeah. Well, that would be worth looking into as a possibility of doing an auction lot with them, but we'd have to look and see if any of them are selling for anything right now.
Okay, thanks.
Better than the regular ones, that's for sure.
True.
Okay, thanks for the call. Next on the line is this Pistol Pat. How's it going, Pistol? What have you been up to?
Yeah, not much, T-Crown Tom, but you got a hell of a show there. Great show.
Thank you, Pistol.
I got this 8x10. It's PSA DNA. It's a Mickey Mantle autograph on the 8x10. It's Mickey Charles Mantle. Is that carrying any cachet or what?
What do you think? You've got a bunch of the middle name autographs on signed baseballs in your current auction, Bill. What do you think of a Mantle signed photo with his middle name in it?
Well, the fact that it's Mickey Charles Mantle, 8x10s have kind of lost a little of their luster over the years since 16x20s came out. But Mantle didn't really sign a ton of 16x20s, as many as 8x10s. But a regular Mantle 8x10 is 150 to 250, whereas Mickey Charles Mantle could be 500 to 1,000.
Pistol, there you go.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Very nice.
Have a good one. That made Pistol's day. That's good. Pistol's a regular listener. Good to make him happy. Okay, some other items that are in the Huggins and Scott July-August auction. Bidding begins July 21st, not the 24th, a little earlier than originally planned. So you can make a note of that. And here's an Abe Lincoln circa 1845 to 1849 signed legal brief in a frame display, $1,500 minimum bid. 1960s to 2000 Batman-related comic book lot of 161, $200 minimum bid. And then also, it's time for Which Ended Higher with Vince Clementi, starring Vince Clementi. Okay, these are items that ended in the May Huggins and Scott auction. Fairly close in the final bidding, what they actually went for, and Vince is going to try to pick which one of these three items ended higher, where the bidding ended higher. Walter Johnson, circa 1910, handwritten and signed three-page letter. Second item, Ty Cobb, April 2nd, 1959, signed check for $60.80. And after you pick, we're going to try to, you can guess how much that's worth now, $60.80. And the third item, Napoleon Larry Lajoie signed 1953 to 63 Hall of Fame postcard. So which one of those? Now, Lajoie died in 1959. This is just a little tip.
Right.
And these were available to be signed 1953 to 63 that they were producing them. So he probably didn't sign a ton of those. Wouldn't you think, Bill, that there's not a lot of those that he signed?
Oh, no, the window was very small on those, and that's why they're so tough,
Okay, Vince, so what do you
think? Well, I've been feeling like Mario Mendoza lately with my average in success. But I'm going to go with the Walter Johnson hand-signed letter.
And you would?
Yeah, all right.
You finally got the registers back. You're right, $1,400 for the Walter Johnson, $1,300 for Elijah Way, and $975 for the Ty Cobb April 2nd, 1959 signed check. The check amount was $60.80.
Wow.
Eric, you can give a guess on this too. $60.80 in 1959. What do you think that's worth now?
I'm going to say $500.
Oh, look at Vince. And what do you think?
He's going big. I'll go $350.
350. Bill, you want to wager a guess on that one?
I'll go 250.
Okay. Vince is on a roll today.
I'm at
513-10.
Okay. That's pretty good.
Five to five.
I didn't even do that.
I got a new streak coming
very
along.
Very good,
there.
Eric. Eric's all over things today. All right. Let's get one more call. We're already up to another break. Time goes too fast when we're here. I think it morphs. I think we're not really here, Vince. I think this is all in our imagination.
Could be.
Mike from Joliet's on the line. What do you have there, Mike?
I got a 1985 Super Bowl program with some signatures, and I don't have Dick because I was wondering if it'd be worth getting his signature, and does it cost anything to get a signature?
Well, let's say he was one of the guys at the National that's signing, it would cost money. Each guy is different. Once in a while, there'll be free signatures, or they'll be free with a package that if you get a bunch of stuff in there. But I don't know what Ditka usually charges, maybe $50 to $100. Some of those guys have gotten pretty expensive. Whether that would help that item enough to make it worthwhile, that I don't know. What do you think of that, Bill? Now, does this have Walter Payton already signed on it, Mike?
Nah, it don't have Walter, but it's got McMahon and Dent and Sue. I got about 20 signatures on it, but I don't have Walter's.
Okay, and it's not just all Hall of Famers. I mean, it would help. It sure wouldn't hurt to get Ditka even then you get a chance to meet him at something. Or if you know he's going to be at his restaurant or one of his restaurants, whatever, might be worth taking it in and see if you can get it signed. It definitely wouldn't hurt. Okay, it's time for a short break. The number is 312-332-3776. We're on till 8, and you can call us with a question about a collectible, and hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on till 8. You can call us 312-332-3776. If you have something that you think might have some value to it, some sort of collectible, can be sports, non-sports. We've got a prize to give away this week, a 2017 Panini Donruss Elite football box, two autographs, one memorabilia card per box, and one of the autographs is a pen pal autograph. That some of those are very valuable, so give us a call and you get in the drawing. Or if you tweet a picture of an item to me and we use it on the show, you also get in the drawing, and it doesn't have to be anything of any great value, as Gideon showed. he's got a couple pretty good pictures here. I retweeted them. He's got one with him and Frank Caliendo. He said it's signed by Gideon. Okay. I said basically nothing but priceless to you. And another one with the Catman, where it's pictured, and I don't think anybody signed that one. Once again, priceless, priceless. I'm not going to give a price on that.
Gideon fits perfectly with this show. Yeah, you know? He does, for sure.
Yep, I think he's got a bit of a wacky sense of humor. Eric actually did an estimate. He tweeted an estimate, $1.43, I think on the cap photo. So we'll see that. I would probably pay that, $1.43, I would think. Now here's some actual good items that are in the Huggins and Scott auction. Bidding begins July 21st. Tons of stuff up there if you go to HugginsandScott.com. Here's an older Super Bowl ticket. If you have any original Super Bowl tickets, some of these things really go for some good bucks. Here's a 1975 Super Bowl IX full ticket, PSA 5, a $200 minimum bid. Pittsburgh David was in yesterday, and I was like, yeah, there's an item we're going to talk about that he might be interested in. That's it, Pittsburgh David, if you're listening. Now, a $20 ticket, which is what that price was in 1975, that same ticket, if you were going to the Super Bowl this year, if they hadn't gone up the prices, what would you be paying for that ticket in 2017?
So the equivalent of $20 and 75,
yeah.
I'm going to say $150.
Nope. 93-23. So just think, I don't even know what the cheapest Super Bowl ticket is now, but I think it's more than 93-23.
I think so too. You can't even go to the state for $93 where it's being held.
No, that's right. Yeah, the gas. That's anyway, right. Wherever you can't even it get is, close. Yeah, it wouldn't work. Okay, next on the line we have Don on the road. Where are you traveling to, Don?
Morning, fellas. How is everyone doing?
Good. What's up?
Cleaning out my mother's basement. She used to keep a stockpile of gifts for those last-minute birthday parties that you would get sent to.
Mm.
And I found a original Princess Leia.
Ooh, from the late 70s?
Late 70s Princess Leia. She's still in her box with her beautiful white plastic cape.
Oh, that actually could be pretty good. Let's see. Vince, that would be a good one to check on eBay. It's still in the box, Princess Leia. Some of those go for a lot. I had one of my regular customers has a bunch of those, and we were looking them up, and it's like some of them were hundreds on, if they're still in the box. I don't know. Is there an actual year on it?
On the road, I couldn't tell you, but I know it's from the late 70s.
Okay. Well, we'll see if we can find something. I'm going to say probably hundreds, don't you think, Bill?
Yeah, those are very, very sought after, especially in the original box, depending on how well the packaging is preserved.
Yeah, let's see. We'll try to do a high to low. We got a recent first here that's not that high. So let's see if we got a good one here for you. I don't know.
I'm not seeing any extraordinary prices on these.
No.
Unless I'm...
No, there's a couple of things that are $300, but it doesn't look like it's, I don't know. We'd have to see this one. Yep. If you can maybe tweet a picture of it one of these weeks or email me a photo of it, and then I can tell you for sure. Here's one, a Kenner Star Wars Jumbo 12-inch Princess Leia figure, mint in box, rare, $154.
And a Hot Toys Princess Leia. But somehow limited edition of six for $300. So I'm not sure if that's
what that is. That's probably not it. But check it out and get back to us. And anyway, some of those original in-box items can sell for a lot. If you have a group of them and from that time frame with all the big names of them as a group, that I bet Americana Steve would like that group, don't you think, Bill?
Oh, yeah, and we've written up several of them he has over the years.
Yeah,
sure.
Jim from Wheaton's on the line. Thanks for waiting, Jim. What do you have?
Hi, Tom, big fan. I have a Mike Ditka Trocet autograph card. I met him at Hallis Hall back in, 1990, I want to say.
Okay.
But there's no number on the back. It's actually, embroidered or stamped instead.
So did you get it signed in person, or did this come out of a pack signed?
No, I met him in person. Okay. I actually got to go to his office, and he pulled it out of his drawer and signed it for me. And it has no number. It's just it's stamped, so I have original.
Cool. Now, my original thought, Bill, is 50 to 100, being Ditka and an older card like that. But because it's... have you seen that particular one where he's like, here, I got something for you.
Kid.
Pulls in his feet. Now, don't bother me.
Those were actually put in packs, and I guess they weren't numbered, so they must have given Mike an extra stack of them to sign and give to friends. But those were actually signed. He signed X number of them. I don't know what X is. And they were put in packs from that year. That was along with oodles of other guys who signed them. But they weren't numbered. So that's why I'm sure they probably gave Mike a stack of the extra run to give to friends or whatever.
Yeah, that would make sense. I think Walter Payton signed a card in that set where he was wearing a race car suit or something, if I remember right. So pretty cool. Something a little different anyway.
A lot of Mike Ditka calls today.
The coach. I wonder what the coach has been up to lately. Haven't heard much from him. Okay, some other items that are in the Huggins and Scott July auction. Here's something you don't see every day. A 1976 Topps Welcome Back Cotter BBCE wrapped 36-pack box, $100 minimum bid. Were you a welcome back?
I was.
I would have wagered yes that you did.
That was funny.
That was Travolta was in that, John too. I know. I watched that some.
There you go.
I don't know that I... That it was one on my all-time favorite list. Welcome Back Hotter fun.
Than Three's Company would follow it, I think.
Oh, really?
And so those back-to-back, you know.
I was circled in the That's TV right. guide,
yep,
right?
For sure.
Here's another item, a 1956 Topps football unopened 5-cent wax pack, PSA 5. $300 minimum bid on that one. Those old... packs, Bill, the unopened packs from the 60s and older, I mean, can they be any hotter than they are right now? Do you think they'll get hotter in the future?
Well, they'll probably get hotter in the future because if Vince gets a hold of them, they'll be open.
Yeah, and then there'll be much less of them. That's right. Yeah. Watch out at the National if Vince is there.
I will be there. Believe me, I'll be there.
Now, you really, if you are going to be there, you got to try to pick up one older pack. And
I will.
And
I rip do. It open. I love going there. I go to each space and just talk and listen and just learn something about somebody, and it's pretty cool.
A lot of neat stuff there.
Yep.
So when are you going to be at the National, Bill? Is that are you going to be there the 23rd or 4th? Is that what you think, where you're going to head there? Or when are you going to be there from?
Well, we get in town Monday. We have some meetings Monday and partially Tuesday. Tuesday's our setup day. Tuesday and early Wednesday is when we set it up. And it opens to the public, I believe, at like 3 o'clock Wednesday afternoon and runs, I don't know what day exactly times it closes, and runs till about 4 o'clock on Sunday.
Now, did you guys get one of those maps of the layout of the place and where it shows where your thing is? I don't know. Somebody...
We're actually, when you walk in the front door, you couldn't miss us. We are going to be in the second row with our 10-by-30-foot booth and right at the main entrance there. So you won't be able to miss us.
Nice. That's cool. With a big Huggins and Scott sign up or something that people will see?
Oh, yes. Big lit-up sign that you can't miss.
Very cool. Oh, boy, that's neat. The front
row.
It's
going to be a lot of fun, yes.
I wonder if you, Coro, will be there with them. The front row. Yep. Okay, Kevin from Elgin's on the line. What do you have there, Kevin?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
Good. Funny thing, I've been listening to you guys for some time now over the years, and my 11-year-old son happens to be in a car with me on the way to a Plainfield baseball tournament. He's like, why don't you call in and ask about some of the things you have? So here we are.
Very good.
I've got a number of items, but and some of these might be more common than others, but I've got a 81 traded, Topps traded set, an 82, and I believe one of those has a Cal Ripken rookie card in it, and it is opened, but it's been probably opened once and looked at and then put back in a box. So
well, that Cal Ripken traded rookie card, since it's opened, if that's well-centered and sharp, that's a good one to get graded, don't you think, Bill? And in high grades, those go for some pretty good bucks.
Oh, yeah, the key to that 82 traded card is, does it have the print dot on it? There, well over half of them or whatever have this yellow print dot on them, and that kills the grade. But if you've got a real sharp one that doesn't have that dot on it, well worth getting graded. Could be 500 to 1,000 or more.
So you also have a Joe Montana rookie, Kevin?
Yep. I've got a few of those, actually.
Look for the well-centered. See if any of them are centered on that particular card. A lot of them seem to be off-center. So if you have a good, sharp, centered one, those would be worth grading. Now, what we really want to know is what position your son plays and how's he been doing?
Well, he's usually floating between shortstop and center field, and he's leadoff.
Speedy.
Baseball is one of those up-and-down sports, so it's a game of runs, really.
Yeah. He must be fast. That's a good.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, very good. Well,
shout out to Wasco baseball. So
there you go. Good luck today.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I had a question on those. You were able to send it. I can't remember how I got them, but I think it was 81. You could send something back to Topps, and then they would send you the All-Star cards, which were the bigger cards. They were maybe like 4x6s, and they came in. A manila envelope.
Mm-hmm.
You guys familiar with those at all?
Yeah, Bill, I'm sure you've seen those. I don't think those go for a ton, though, do they, Bill?
No, they're about $10 a set.
Yeah. Now, Kevin, if you want tickets to that Under Armour All-American game, stop by Triple Crown in Naperville. You get free tickets.
Will do.
All right. Very good. Okay. Some other things that are going to be in the Huggins and Scott auction coming up. Bidding begins July 21st and goes through August 3rd. There's a 1948 Leaf boxing complete set of 49 uncut sheet.
Very nice.
Talk about something that there can't be a lot of those around. $500 minimum bid. It's 17 by 20. Some of the key guys on it. Listen to who's on this thing. Max Baer, Jack Dempsey, Jack Johnson, Joe Louis, Sugar Ray Robinson, Max Schmeling, John L. Sullivan, Gene Tunney. Have you ever seen one of those sell, Bill?
You know, I don't remember seeing one of those cells.
I've never seen one.
Very colorful too. That set has been done, and that sheet displays very nicely compared to some of those older uncut seats, which are kind of bland.
Yeah, very cool. Then for Cub fans, there's a Ron Santo 1971-73 signed game used bat, Mears A8, $900 minimum bid. Plus, there's game used bats from Kessinger, Beckert, Williams, Hundley, and Madlock also that came through T-Crown.
Very nice.
That was so cool when he had those in. Brought them in one time. You could tell he was like, I don't know that I want to sell them. Then he brought them back. He's like, I'm doing it. So I hope they do real well. If you've been looking for a 60s, 70s Cubs game-used bat from that era, this Huggins and Scott auction, you're going to find some good ones there. There's a 1959 Topps baseball complete 572 card set, 567 are PSA graded, number 27 on the registry with a set rating of over 7. The mantle's a PSA 8, the mantle card number 10, $5,000 minimum bid, and that's number 27 on the registry, which is actually, that's tough to get up. Think of how expensive it would be just to grade that many cards, Bill.
Oh, yeah, no, that... Anytime you get in the top 25 or 30 or even 50, especially on some of those older sets, you've done quite well. It takes you thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to get into those categories.
Absolutely. That'll be interesting. $5,000 minimum bid, so we'll see what it does. And it's already time to do the drawing.
Wow, time goes by so fast. This week's winner is Pistol Pat from Westchester. So, Pistol Pat, email me your address, and I'll deliver it to your home or work free of charge.
Pistol Pat just jumped out the door, cheering, yelling, waving his arms, doing jumping jacks.
As you did before the show.
Yeah, right. Well, I was sitting while I was doing it. It was jumping jacks with just my arm movement to wake up. Okay, don't forget, go to HugginsAndScott.com. Check out all the items up there for their July, August bidding, ercdelivery.com, Vince Clemente's Delivery Company on Demand, and Triple Crown in Naperville. I'm there 6 days a week. Have a great week, everybody, and thanks for listening.